Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
South Dakota House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in our prayer today is Pastor Keith Nash from the Mitchell Wesleyan Church. And leading us in our pledge are Pages Tracy Gephardt from Sioux Falls and Angela Wheeldryer from Sioux Falls.
Join me in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us today. We are grateful for these who serve by your pleasure and for the good of the state of South Dakota. We pray that you will bless our state with righteousness and truth to prevail. Bless the decisions and the deliberations that will be carried out in this chamber. May principle guide the decisions and the discussions. And we pray that truth and righteousness will prevail in our state and across our land. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will call the roll, please.
Blake, Boland, Boomgarten, Bruner, Berg, Carson, Cronin, Kurd, Cutler, Diedrich, Dennard, Dreyer, Elliott, Ingalls, Vane, Fargen, Feichert, Feinstein, Ferrix, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hamill, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Hunt, Ironcloud, Jensen, Junkie, Killer, Kirkaby, Kirschman, Kopp, Krebs, Lucas, Lederman, Lang, Lust, McLaughlin, Mosier, Noam, Norstrup, Nygaard, Betty Olson, Ryan Olson, Peters, Pitts, Putnam, Roush, Rompkema, Rounds, Russell, Schleckaway, Schramp, Sly, Solberg, Solem, Sorensen, Steele, Street, Thompson, Tiedemann, Turbeville, Van Gerpen, Vander, Lindy, Vanneman, Versio, Wink, Wismer, Speaker, Rabe.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal the 20th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Timothy A. Rabe, Speaker.
All those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that House Bill 1179 do not pass. House Bill 1202 do pass, and House Bill 1204 was tabled. Carol A. Pitts, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bill 1167 do pass, and House Bill 1224 do pass as amended. Thomas J. Bruner, Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that House Bill 1255 do pass as amended. House Joint Resolution 1001 was tabled, and House Bill 1273 was deferred to the 41st Legislative Day. Ryan P. Olson, Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1278 do pass, House Bill 1243 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Val Roush, Vice Chair. And the Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that House Bill 1281 do pass as amended. Kent Junkie, Vice Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Bills 1001, 1066, 1114, 1115, 1116, and 1133, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit here with Senate Bills 36, 128, 173, 180, 183, and 202, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
Why don't we take a minute here, and I think we have a few introductions on the floor. Who wants to start? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the floor with me today is my six-year-old daughter, Jocelyn Gosch. Could I have a personal privilege, please?
Granted,
sir. Thank you, sir. In the balcony, I have my wife, Heather, my little son, Easton, and my daughter, 13-year-old Leah, and somewhere around here is my 8-year-old. So I'm not sure where, and then I've got a son on his way, so... please welcome them.
Welcome. Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce three small but important delegations today. The first one from Sioux Falls, my daughter Melissa and her two children, Luke, and Max. And then the delegation from Rapid City, my daughter Allison, and her daughter Elena, about to fall over the railing, and Jack, 2 months. And Allison, by the way, is a former page to this body in 1998. And last, my wife Janet from Mitchell. Thank you, Mr.
Welcome.
Speaker.
Welcome. Thank you. Representative Berg. Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a privilege I've never had in these 9 years I've been here, is to introduce my wife, Linda. She's standing up over there.
Welcome, Linda. Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to introduce my wife, Doris Marie Strom, seated right up here.
Welcome, Doris. Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I also would like to ask for personal privilege.
Granted, ma'am.
Thank you. Well, as most of you have known, there's been two little boys running around the Capitol all week. This is their last full day with me, and I just want to introduce my two boys. I have Derek and Braden.
Welcome, boys. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like a personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you. Please welcome my wife, Watertown High School educator and keeper of the home fires, my wife, Lisa.
Welcome, Lisa. Representative Vercio.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
I would like to introduce my lovely wife, Jerry, who's sitting right up here. Would you stand up, please, Jerry? Welcome.
Welcome, Jerry. Representative Boomgarden.
Personal privilege, please.
Granted, sir.
I figured it must be bring your kid to an undeclared bring your kid to the legislature day today. But anyway, I have Ellen Elizabeth here with me. Her second annual trip to come see the prince at the castle. That'd be Prince Rounds, Mike Rounds. And I'd like everybody to give her a good welcome here.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, personal privilege. Mr. Speaker, personal privilege.
Representative Lederman, granted, sir.
I'd like to introduce my wife, Jessica Lederman, in the balcony above here. Thank you.
Welcome. Is that it? Personal privileges? All right. Motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 1008, a concurrent resolution expressing support for improved adolescent health and wellness by recognizing the importance of an adolescent well physical to prevent chronic diseases, help better identify and treat chronic diseases, and update immunizations. And Representative Pitts moves that HCR 1008 be adopted.
The question being on Representative Pitts' motion that HCR 1008 be adopted. Are there any remarks? Representative Pitts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and honorable members of the body, I bring before you today House Concurrent Resolution 1008. It's a resolution asking for your as well as our constituent support for improved adolescent health and wellness by recognizing the importance of adolescent well physicals to prevent chronic diseases and to treat and identify such chronic diseases, such as things we haven't dealt with before, type 2 diabetes and others, and to update immunizations for these adolescents. While adolescence is a critical time to develop positive habits and skills that can lead to healthy lifestyles and behaviors over the adolescent's lifetime, that's why I encourage all of us to promote adolescent well physicals during this time of life, especially these well visits as one of the best preventative tools to ensure continued health from childhood to adulthood. I ask for your support of House Concurrent Resolution 1008 and encourage our constituents to recognize the need to support adolescent health and adolescent well visits. Your support would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on HCR 1008. Hearing none, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives being Representative Pitt's motion that HCR 1008 be adopted. All those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine and members shall proceed to vote.
Representatives Diedrich, Feikert, Feinstein, and Hamel. Representative Feinstein.
Feinstein votes aye.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 65, excused 5.
HCR 1008, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared adopted. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
Representative Bruner moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1053.
Question being on Representative Bruner's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to HB 1053. Are there any remarks? Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 1053 essentially comes back to us the same way as it left. Senators, in their infinite wisdom, decide to mess with it, then they unmessed with it, and basically it's back where it was, repealing a section of law. So we'll just urge that you concur.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives being Representative Bruner's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to HB 1053. All those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Feinstein. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 65.
House Bill 1053, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared concurred in. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
Representative Cutler moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1089.
Question being on Representative Cutler's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to HB 1089. Are there any remarks? Representative Cutler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the body. We would just ask that you do concur with the changes that the Senate made. They're minor technical changes, just a little bit of clarifying language that they felt comfortable with, changing from if grounds are shown to if sufficient grounds are alleged. It does not substantially change the intent or what the bill does. So ask for your green vote and concurrence on House Bill 1089. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Hearing none, the question for South Dakota House of Representatives being on Representative Cutler's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1089. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 64, nays 1.
House Bill 1089, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared concurred in. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
Representative Cutler moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1097.
The question being on Representative Cutler's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to HB 1097. Are there any remarks? Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the body. I guess one of the members felt that I was being obstructed by my roses, so they have temporarily somehow gone out the door. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We'd ask that you do concur with the changes in House Bill 1097. Again, just simple language clarifying that, if you recall, what this bill does is it adds a cost to those who modify child support, visitation, and those kinds of orders so that we can address the problem with access to the courts. And this, the changes just simply clarify that those who are receiving public assistance would not be paying that fee. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1097. Hearing no further remarks. Question for a South Dakota House of Representatives, being on Representative Cutler's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to HB 1097. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's two-thirds vote. Fees go to a special fund, two-thirds even in concurrence.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 64, nays 1.
House Bill 1097, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared concurred in. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
Representative Fain moves that when we adjourn today, we adjourn to convene at 2:30 p.m. Friday, February 13th, the 22nd legislative day. What did I say? 12:30.
That's exactly what you said, 12:30. That's right. Okay. All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. It had a two in it. It was close enough. Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Fain moves that the reports of the Standing Committees on Education on House Bill 1181, Judiciary on House Bill 1163, and Commerce on House Bills 1219 and 1212 be adopted.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. First reading of Senate bills. Ladies and gentlemen in the crowd, you can hear they're talking over top of each other. Our Constitution dictates that we read every title of every bill in an open forum. In this day and age of computers, you can go look these bills up at any time at your convenience so they're not hidden from you. This is just an efficiency measure so we can get to our work a little bit faster. Speaker assigned. Senate Bill 36 to the Committee on Appropriations. Senate Bill 128 to the Committee on Commerce. Senate Bill 173 to Judiciary. Senate Bill 180 to State Affairs. Senate Bill 183 to Local Government. And Senate Bill 202 to the Committee on Commerce. Consent calendar. Again, for our audience here today visiting, the consent calendar is another efficiency measure for us to get done with our business faster. These are bills that came out of committee with no dissenting votes and no opposition testimony. It's just you can ask a question of the sponsor, but we do not debate these bills.
House Bill 1213, an act to allow school districts to enter into group health insurance contracts that include dental and vision insurance, and to allow school districts to offer group life and group health insurance benefits to retired employees.
House Bill 1213, having had its second readings up for consideration and final passage, are there any questions? Hearing none, the question for the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1213. All those favorable vote aye, those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Lucas. Representative Lucas. Excuse me. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 63, nays 1, 6 excused.
House Bill 1213, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct. Second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 1203 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1203, having had its second reading, is up consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield time to the sponsor of the bill, number 1203.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. Mr. Speaker, I have a motion at the desk, 1203JA.
Has that been distributed, sir?
It has, sir.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
Having been moved and seconded, Representative Hunt, I believe you have to speak to both the amendment and the bill, sir.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Members of the body, you'll recall that during yesterday's session, there was a question that was raised as to the constitutionality of House Bill 1203. And that question was based upon an understanding of some circumstances that took place in the state of Pennsylvania. And at that time, I was not able to respond to those questions because I didn't have the information, didn't have the opinion of the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania. Over the last 24 hours, I have obtained that Supreme Court decision. I've also gone to Alex. Alex has prepared some information. I've also given you a copy of the Westlaw book that recites this particular case. And those have been on your desk for a couple of hours anyway so that you could go through them. In response to the question that Bill 1203 is unconstitutional, I would simply direct your attention to the fact that that's not a totally true picture of the decision of the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. What the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania said is the bill itself was not unconstitutional, but the application to claimants that would make claims based on fact situation before the bill and the law was enacted was inappropriate under a particular provision of the Pennsylvania Constitution. And so any issue of unconstitutionality is simply based upon retroactivity. And if you compare the Pennsylvania bill with our bill, 1203, you'll note that we've made specific provision so that it is not retroactive. There may be some question also about Texas. Right at the present time, the Houston Appellate Court has said that similar legislation is constitutional. Another appellate court in Austin has said it is not. Those two decisions are going up to the Texas Supreme Court. But again, the law is the same as Pennsylvania, which included a retroactivity clause. That clause is specifically excluded in 1203. But to make that very, very clear, I have proposed the amendment that you have before you, 1203JA. I want to make sure that there is no question about the fact we are not trying to make this retroactive. And that was the key issue and the only issue that was involved in the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania and Texas. In fact, is it was interesting, but just yesterday, the Pennsylvania trial court and superior court basically held the law in Pennsylvania now to be constitutional, because the Pennsylvania legislature went in and removed the retroactivity clause. So I believe that answers the questions as far as constitutionality or lack thereof. I would also note that on the 11th of February, the House of the State of North Dakota also enacted this bill, and it has now gone over to their Senate. I would appreciate your support of this amendment to clarify any issue relative to retroactivity, and I would certainly stand by for any questions that you might have. I would appreciate your support of the amendment and then go on to pass 1203 as amended. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Hunt motion to amend? Hearing none. Question before the House is the Hunt motion to amend. All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We're back to discussion on House Bill 1203 as amended. Further remarks. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the sponsor, please.
State your question, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hunt, were you able to find any fact sheet similar to what you gave to us from the Council of State Governments about this topic?
Representative Hunt, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Representative, I did not have the time to go to CSG, basically, but you will notice that in the handout from Alex, there is a reference to the CSG position in working with the state of South Carolina on this same particular piece of legislation.
Representative Thompson, you still have the floor, sir. Thank you. Further remarks on House Bill 1203 as amended. Representative Ingalls.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I supported the amendment on this. The amendment makes the bill better, but the memo that we received today clearly indicates that the bill was not as it was initially presented to us. First, it was presented as if it affects only one company, and here they acknowledge that it affects multiple companies, a whole class of companies. Secondly, they finally acknowledge for the first time that parts of it are unconstitutional. They brought amendments to correct that. Clearly, this bill, as it was initially presented to us, was overreaching by quite a bit. The one thing the memo that was presented to us didn't acknowledge is probably my biggest concern with the bill, and that is that successor companies only have the same liability that was transferred to them, meaning that any company currently existing can transfer the assets out of that company, sell the shell to a new company, and the new company is only on the hook for the amount of the value of the shell. So really what this is doing is still creating a loophole for companies to collude to avoid liability to people with legitimate claims. Now, the underlying topic of this bill is an important one of public policy. It is a matter of public policy to balance the interests of businesses and people who've been harmed by asbestos claims. Congress has taken this up and not done anything to this point. Congress being Congress, they take forever to do anything. But the debate in Congress surrounds setting up a fund to compensate victims so that everybody won't have to sue and companies won't have to face all these multiplicity of lawsuits. But in Congress, the debate is whether the fund should have $140 billion or whether the claims could rise to the level of $250 billion. So everybody, even both parties in Congress, seem to agree that there's a significant amount of liability to people with these type of claims. And I would submit that this is not a South Dakota issue. We haven't seen any problems with asbestos claims here. I'm not even aware if there are any. But just like those ballot issues, the people that come from out of state and want to use South Dakota as a test bed, I think that's what we have here. And I don't think it's a South Dakota issue, and I don't think that we need to deal with it. It really is a federal issue, and it's a serious one. But I still don't think that this bill is the vehicle that best addresses the issues, and it certainly does not make any attempt to balance the issues. So I would urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, we've been hearing about Texas and Pennsylvania. Now I'm reading from a brief that was filed in North Dakota regarding House Bill 1430 this year, virtually identical to the legislation proposed here. In regard to it, from a legal brief that was filed, Crown Corp and Seal and its lobbyists claim that this bill will help the company's corporate bond rating. And the truth is that in North Dakota or in Virginia or in Indiana, it'll do nothing for the corporate bond rating as long as the other 45 states jurisdictions do not have the same legislation. The lobbyist in Virginia for Crown admitted that Crown had certified to the federal SEC in 2007 that it made $7.7 billion in net sales for that year, 75% of which were from overseas. It also certified that its total forecast for pending and future asbestos costs for the entire company was about $100 million less than the interest for a single year on its corporate debt instruments. You know, later, this was found to be at some trial court levels and intermediate appellate court levels, as was pointed out by our representative from Minnehaha County, to be unconstitutional as it was applied because of the retroactive clause. However, in Virginia, they also added the fact that it was special legislation, and again, like our Constitution, its unintended consequences and special legislation for one corporation, even though it will impact others, really it's for one big company, and that would be unconstitutional here. I don't know why we allow moneyed clients with special interests from Washington, D.C., or in this case, Pennsylvania, to invade our jurisdiction and use us as a testing ground and try to slip something through. This is a time that we should leave it to the federal government, and as a state, we should not be bamboozled into enacting legislation that is not well thought out. If you can't understand the bill by reading through that bill, I don't see how you could vote for it. I have trouble, and I've taught in five major universities in this great country of ours, and reading that legislation bothers me greatly. So I urge a red vote on this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on 1203 as amended. Hearing none. The question for the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1203 as amended. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege?
Granted, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, sitting up to the right of the Speaker, or to our left, in the corner up there, is a young lady who used to reside in this community, but now she resides in Yankton, so she's no longer a constituent of mine, but I thought I'd just introduce her anyhow. The lady is Karen Michaels, and she used to be a Lindblom at one time, but she is the wife of our past speaker, Matt Michaels. I'd like you to welcome her to the House today.
Welcome, Karen. Representative Mosier.
Thank you, sir. Personal privilege, please.
Granted, sir.
Mr. Speaker, fellow members of the House, I would also like you to join me in welcoming two very special members of the Yankton community, Ms. Michaels and a man who served and presided as Speaker of the People's House for not one but two terms, and a man who I'm pleased to call a mentor and a friend. Please help me in welcoming back Speaker Matt Michaels.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 42, nays 23.
House Bill 1203, having received a majority vote in the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1104, an act to authorize a sentencing court to impose consecutive revocations of hunting, fishing, or trapping privileges under certain conditions.
House Bill 1104, having had its second readings up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1104 will allow judges, it will give them the discretion to impose consecutive revocation of hunting privileges. Circuit judges for years thought they already had the right to do this, similar to their ability to impose consecutive sentences upon criminals. For example, you could have a person with no prior record who killed three people and have consecutive sentencing upon that person. In the same way, if somebody violates the law in reference to hunting, their hunting privileges can be revoked. But currently, based on Supreme Court case law, they're not allowed to impose consecutive revocation of hunting privileges without a change in the law. If someone was particularly egregious with their violations, multiple violations, for example, this law would give the courts the discretion, not the mandatory revocation of multiple hunting privileges for multiple years, but it would give them discretion to impose consecutive revocations if they believe the facts warranted such. So with that, I would urge passage of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, House Bill 1104. Hearing no further remarks, the question for us out to go to House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1104. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Lust and Hunhoff. Representative Hunhoff. Oh.
Aye. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 57, nays 7.
House Bill 1104, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title deemed correct.
House Bill 1188, an act to require that 5% of the qualified electors in one half of the counties sign initiative and referendum petitions.
House Bill 1188, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a subject that is dear to many of our hearts. This bill, if passed, will broaden the process of collecting signatures for initiative and referendums. As many of you know, this process has become narrowed in recent years because circulators of petitions have focused their efforts on shopping malls in Sioux Falls and Rapid City. What has happened in many instances is that when this approach is taken, it disenfranchises most of our state. So this bill attempts to remedy that. Current law requires that circulators of petitions gather signatures that total 5% of the number that voted in the last gubernatorial election. House Bill 1188 does not diminish that number, but it adds the requirement that 5% of qualified electors in each of at least 33 counties must be represented in that total. I ask your support for this bill for two reasons. One, I believe it will return the initiative and referendum process to the original intent that goes back to the turn of the last century. The original idea was to allow our citizens access to be part of the process and the opportunity to be part of the change. This is denied to them by the present process.
I was speaking to a House committee the other day on this, and I referred to the practice of going to concerts. I think I mentioned Garth Brooks. Somebody mentioned Black Sabbath to collect signatures. I don't have anything against Black Sabbath or Garth Brooks. In fact, I think maybe I know who Garth Brooks is. Black Sabbath I'm not familiar with. But this practice of going to malls and concerts and filling up our petitions with signatures and leaving out most of the counties in the state would be remedied by this bill. Secondly, I think this bill, if you will support it, will go a long way toward restoring confidence in the process. I think there has been, in recent years, a growing skepticism about the process that has crept into the public consciousness with respect to how initiatives and referendums are launched in our state. In fact, it was referred to a couple of bills ago by one of the speakers. This bill does not address all those concerns, but it does address one of the concerns, and that is opening up the process, making the initiative and referendum process something that is available to all voters in the state, not just a few on either end of the state. And I would ask your support of House Bill 1188. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1188. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, the last thing I want to do, truly, is to oppose Representative Hamel's first bill on the floor. And so I'm in an uncomfortable position. And I know also that his intent is absolutely, he has the absolute best intentions, as we always do with all our bills. It's the unintended consequences that are the concern. And, of course, we've talked about the initiated measure process a couple times already this session. Again, I think we bring a bill that will have unintended consequences. The intention is to get at these big, mean guys with all the money from out of state. And we'd all like to do that if we could find a way. But this is going to create all sorts of difficulties for the grassroots people that are just trying to circulate petitions and use that initiated measure process that we all love here in South Dakota. It's not going to bother the big money guys from out of state. If they want to put something on our ballot, they'll put it on the ballot. They'll find the resources. They'll go through all the hoops and hurdles, and they'll get on there. The reason they want to come to South Dakota isn't because it's easy or difficult to collect petition signatures. The reason they want to come to South Dakota is because of cheap media. They can buy cheap TV ads and try to sell that message. If you want to have a bill to really make it tougher for them, raise the television advertising rates way up, and that might actually do something, but this bill will not do it. I oppose it for two reasons. Number one, it creates all sorts of difficult hurdles that the sponsor really kind of glossed over, all sorts of difficult hurdles for petition signers, like those two wonderful, sweet ladies from Wall a couple years ago who circulated petitions for, I believe, to remove the inheritance tax, if my memory is correct. Two sweet ladies over a kitchen table organized that thing. They would not be able to organize a measure like this. There's too many hoops and hurdles. It would take all sorts of coordination and planning and time and resources. Every petition signature probably would have to carry with him 66 different petitions, one for each county, as I understand this, so that if he did show up in a group of people and one was from Brown County and one from Pennington and one from Aurora and one from Yankton, you'd have to have a petition for everybody. It would be just absolutely impossible. I know that's not the intention of the sponsor, but that would be the result of this legislation. The second reason I'm opposed to it, I'm trying to be brief, the second reason is that it simply violates, let's call it the one woman, one vote law, or the one man, one vote law, whatever you want to call it. It violates that big time. Three signers from Mitchell should be just as important as a signer from Aurora or Buffalo or Lyman counties. And in this particular instance, once you got your quota from Davison County, you'd have to move on to the other counties. You would no longer need any or want any more from that particular county. This is just not the solution. We should continue to seek solutions, because I'd also like to find ways to keep the out-of-state interest from using our initiated measure process. I don't think it's caused all the skepticism of the process that the sponsor suggests, but it has been a problem, and I would welcome and work with anybody that has a reasonable solution. Please, I promise you, this is not the solution. Let's oppose this bill and look for other answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks. Representative Fain.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I
I guess I have to rise to respectfully disagree with the last comments. You know, I feel that this measure would in fact encourage more of a grassroots campaign and a grassroots effort to get signatures on the ballot. If South Dakotans truly have a grassroots effort that they want to support and they went on the ballot, I would assume that they're going to have grassroots support all across South Dakota. It won't be one centralized signature gathering corporation like we see so often from the out-of-state concerns that come into our ballot measures so often. I really don't understand why you don't want people in small towns, on farms, and on reservations to have a chance to have a voice in our initiated measure and referendum process. If I was an out-of-state organization that wanted to put something on our ballot, I'd hire the ballot gathering or the signature gathering corporation to go to the Empire Mall or wherever the largest number of people are. They get paid by the signature. Naturally, they're going to go where the signatures are at. I don't understand why you'd want the city of Sioux Falls to determine everything that's going to land on our ballot. And in essence, that's what's starting to happen. If you want grassroots, if you want South Dakota issues, spread it across South Dakota. There's no reason that we can't ask people to get the small number of votes that we're asking for in 5% in just half the counties in South Dakota. Our committee that reviewed this passed it overwhelmingly. It came out of committee 12-1. They heard the testimony, they heard the issues back and forth, and they supported it overwhelmingly. Why now are we deciding we don't want small towns and farms to take part in our initiated measure process? I'd encourage you all to support House Bill 1188, and let's try and make grassroots the way grassroots ought to be. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I think the intent of this bill was probably very good. And there's a lot of parts of it I could agree to. But I think there's a few things in here we may have overlooked yet. For one thing, I don't think we were requiring this of statewide candidates to go to each county and have so many signatures of each county. And so I think we need to look at this thing a little more, maybe come up with some different solutions, because you could go to the Brown County Fair or any other county fair and get signatures. And then you'd have to sort through and find out which counties they're from and have them a different petition ballot or same way the state fair or any of these other things. I think it's a well-intended, but I just think it needs a little more work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. For the remarks, Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen. I, too, would urge you to oppose this bill for another reason, and that is some of our issues and laws that we make do not impact everybody across the state in the same manner. I tend to not want to get too involved in initiative measures, but I can remember the first one I got involved with was to make dove hunting legal in South Dakota because the legislature had made it illegal to hunt doves because they thought that they were an attractive bird. But in fact, they're a migratory bird, and they only fly through certain parts of South Dakota. They don't affect many people, or they don't see them maybe in the western part of our state. And a lot of people would not be willing to sign on to making dove hunting, you know, a legal bird to hunt. And secondly, I agree with the remarks of Representative Berg. Maybe then we should have signatures from all our precincts that we bring in front of us before we can file our petitions to be a candidate. And finally, we passed the measure the other day from Representative Pitts, 1233. What we're really asking is people to be informed before they sign an initiative measure. They should be informed to know exactly what they're signing and not be signing something just because somebody puts it in front of them. So for those reasons, I'd urge you to vote no on this.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would urge the body to support this bill and to address the concerns raised by a representative from Yankton about somehow diluting the one person, one vote. I would posture that the way things happen currently dilutes the one person, one vote. When sponsors of a petition measure right now go to essentially two cities in this state to get all the signatures they need, and that's exactly what happens. Maybe three, possibly four. The people who are from Davison County, Hughes County, Harding County, may not have any signatures on that petition whatsoever. So right now we're getting that dilution of the one person, one vote. This will not make it perfect, but it'll certainly remedy it to a great large degree. I mean, if you want to talk populism, folks, this is populism in its essence. This is letting a wide variety of people participate in a process. And I would ask that you support populism and you support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. For the remarks, Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm on the other side and ask you to vote no here. It gets on the ballot. Everybody gets the choice. That is populism. Everybody gets a choice. We talked the other day about referendums. Our state is the first in the country to do so. I'm highly in favor of that process. That's democracy at its finest, almost like the town meetings out there in the eastern part of our country. The referendums, referrals, and all that do get the process, and everybody gets a chance to vote. But sometimes, you know, the right things for the right reasons have to just get on the ballot and get in front of the people. Yes, we do end up with some things that we don't like, but that's what the process is for. And that's what makes this country great. That's what makes South Dakota great. And I urge you to vote no, because why restrict the public's opportunity to speak on a measure? Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I rise in support of the bill offered by my friend and colleague from Aurora and Davison County. And I'd just like to point out one fact here. The population of the top six most populated counties in South Dakota is equal to the population of the bottom 60 counties in South Dakota. And most of the members of this body hail from one of the bottom 60 counties in population in this state. And the members, the citizens of those 60 counties, still have to vote on issues that are on the ballot. But currently, they don't have to be included in the process to set that ballot. And this bill remedies that. So I stand in support of the bill, and I encourage passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
The question is this, and I've heard testimony on both sides of this issue, and just if you would clarify it for me. If you were to go to the state fair, where people come from all over the state, and you wanted to pass a petition around, would you have to then have a petition for each of those counties in your hand at the time that they sign up?
Representative,
Bill does.
I'm sorry, are you done? Are you finished, Representative Nygaard?
Yeah, I sure am.
Okay. Representative Hamill, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
I do, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Yes. The names have to be collected in the 33 counties by county. If I were circulating petitions, I would do it that way. I'd have a separate county. The other way to do it would be to collect all the signatures, but you couldn't transfer them. So to be in compliance with this proposal, you collect by counties. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor, sir.
I thank you for that answer, and may I speak to the bill?
You can, sir. Thank you.
Well, I think that really points it out that the state fair, which draws people from all across the state, from the six most populated areas to the less populated areas, I think I cause it when I get up here. They like to cheer me on. Kids love me, you know what I mean?
It didn't sound like love, Representative Niger.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like. And we're getting so close to Valentine's Day, too. I can't believe it. At any rate, I just think it's a chilling effect on something that this state is very proud of, and that is our ability to participate in direct democracy. The chance to vote comes at in fall, in November, and then everyone gets to voice their opinion. So I don't think it would be fair to force people to drive out into these sparsely populated counties drag somebody off a tractor or get them off their horse to sign a petition. It's really kind of nice to get them at the Sioux Empire Fair or the Brown County or one of those and get them to sign up. So I encourage you to vote against this bill, even though it's well-intentioned. And I hate to pour water on the first bill, but anyhow, I'd vote no. Give it a red.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks, Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been listening to all the arguments pro and for, and I find some highly suspect motives in the arguments against this bill. And I want to tell everyone that I've been around on this planet for 49 years, and I have never, ever been able to sign a statewide initiative. So if this is part of the process, I've been left out in the cold. What we do by passing this bill is we take the red light. That's all over the country. We got our big red light. We're open for business. Anybody want to come in, come in. This bill shuts that red light off, and I think you know what I mean by that. I'm in favor of this bill, and I would honor and ask you to vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I guess I'd like to slow down and consider some of the remarks that were made today. I really think there's a possibility that you make it harder for South Dakotans. I think you add a burden to the process. I think it's also highly likely that it's the very people you think you are limiting that would have an upper hand, because it's typically, if there's someone from out of state that wants to come into South Dakota, they are the ones that have the money to go out to the other counties to get this accomplished. It's our own citizens that would have a more difficult time doing that. And I guess I'd also offer, if you've ever been out to the Empire Mall on a Saturday or Sunday in Sioux Falls, you're getting a real good blend of the out-of-town folks, because the rest of us in-town folks, we stay home. So.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Does any member wish to speak for Representative Hamill speaks to the bill for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Hamill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This has been a healthy debate, and obviously there's more than one point of view. The obstacles that have been thrown up to this bill, I think, are overstated. I spend a lot of time in outstate South Dakota. I work with a lot of communities, and I can tell you that the many, many counties between Sioux Falls and Rapid City don't participate in this process. There's no good reason why they shouldn't. I wanted to share with you just a little information about how small the obstacle really would be if you were collecting signatures in Jones County. If you were to call up the county chairman or the petition circulator in Jones County and ask them to circulate petitions for whatever, you would have to collect a grand total of 33 signatures. You could do that at your coffee klatch on Wednesday morning. If you wanted to collect signatures in Buffalo County or Millett County, you would have to collect a grand total of 34 or 36 signatures to qualify for the provisions in this bill. What the statistics show that's happening in South Dakota, if you take the 33 smallest counties, if that was your decision, you would only have to collect 2,200 signatures to be in compliance with this law. I don't think that's burdensome. But it does involve that great landmass between where our friends in Sioux Falls live and Rapid City. I really urge you to think about the people of all the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Noem.
Mr. Speaker, I respectfully call the previous question.
All those in favor of calling the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. The question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1188. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote. Representative Hunhoff.
Personal privilege, please.
Granted, sir.
Mr. Speaker, my wife is a little later than the rest of them, but she's here today, my Valentine and wife of 34 years, Myrna.
Welcome.
Thank you. And also our good neighbor, Carol Hicks. Thank you.
And thanks for coming. Representative Hoffman.
Personal privilege, sir.
Granted, sir.
Thank you. I have an announcement today. My girlfriend and my wife and the number one, Holly, is here.
They're both here today, sir?
They're the same person, sir.
Oh, all right, all right.
The reason that my children get to walk around and have people smile at their appearance is here with us, my wife, Holly. Thank you.
Welcome, Holly. Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege, please.
Granted, ma'am.
Thank you. Well, I just want to take this moment to thank all of you who gave me moral support in my little trip down the river yesterday and who contributed to a very worthy cause, that being the Special Olympics. Some of the kids were out there yesterday at the river cheering us on, and it really is a great cause. I think we managed to get up over $50,000 by the end of the day yesterday, and the House of Representatives, including the gentleman who threw a 20 down onto the floor from the gallery, were responsible for raising over $500 yesterday. So I thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Representative Cutler.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 39, nays 27.
House Bill 1188, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct. Representative Fain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we defer the remainder of today's calendar until Friday, the 22nd legislative day.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Announcements. Any announcements? Representative Fain, do you have an announcement, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage that all members present here on the floor and in the gallery, please stay around for about the next 15 minutes or so. We're going to have a special ceremony honoring one of our longest-serving legislators. We're going to be starting that in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, so please stick around and help us honor him. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further announcements? Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning, House Appropriations will have bill hearings, 8 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Representative Kirkaby. Quiet down, ladies and gentlemen. Hang on a minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quick personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Extremely blessed. My wife waited till the last minute, but my wife, Cheryl, just finally joined us in the back here.
Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Mr. Speaker.
I'm sorry, Representative Lang.
Thank you, Speaker. We should note that this is the birthday of the greatest president the nation ever had, the first Republican president who was for an income tax.
And Representative Lang.
Mr. Speaker and I, for the benefit of the rest of you, share books on Lincoln. There are over 14,000 written. We're both Lincoln fans.
Happy birthday, President Lincoln, and we all make mistakes, Representative Lang. Further announcements. Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education tomorrow, 7:45.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements. Seeing none, the Speaker has just a few acts to sign. Be at ease for just a minute. Speaker signing an act to revise certain provisions related to free access to state parks and recreation areas to include certain persons with disabilities. The Speaker is signing an act to revise certain responsibilities of the Supreme Court regarding the Commission on Judicial Qualifications. The Speaker is signing an act to allow a broker to form certain business entities under certain conditions. The Speaker is signing an act to increase the education requirement for broker associate license. Speaker signing an act to require post-licensing education for broker associates. And Speaker signing an act to authorize certain specialty license plates to be placed on motorcycles. Further announcements. Representative Feinstein.
Members of...
Quiet down, ladies and gentlemen.
Remember the Democratic post-session meeting in 499, 15 minutes after session.
Is that after the second session, sir?
After the what?
After the thing we're doing next.
Yes, absolutely. After the other event.
Thank you. Further announcements. Representative Turbeville.
This gentleman is going to test me. Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Hang around, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go here in about 10 minutes.